Josh and Katie, and they are headed to Mexico, and one up here, and so I met with them some weeks ago, and they're actually from the general area here.
Yes.
And I wanted him to get a good chance to present his ministry. He's going to preach for us. So why don't you get your Bible out and listen clear. And Brother Magner, thank you. Give us what the Lord's got on your heart.
Yes, sir. Right. Thank you.
Well, good evening. Good to be here tonight. Like you said, my name is Josh Magner. My wife Katie is here with me this evening. You can all see her here in this purple dress. Before I go ahead and give to you what the Lord has laid on my heart, I'd like to look at our ministry presentation video. That'll explain a little bit about our ministry that the Lord has called us to. So, gentlemen, if you'd go ahead and play that now, that'd be wonderful. Thank you. We are the Magners, missionaries to Mexico City. With a population of over 12 million people spread across 573 square miles, the city is densely populated. Mexico City is the capital city of Mexico and the largest in the country. 15% of all people living there live in poverty. However, the gospel is a far greater need than any earthly things. It is estimated that over 80% of the people are Roman Catholic. Many Mexicans see Catholicism as a part of their culture, passed down through the family and nation, much like a cultural heritage would be. Only 5% of Mexicans are considered Christian. Many have never heard the gospel.
I grew up in a Christian home, went to church every Sunday, even helped teach children's classes. But deep down, I knew something was missing from my life. When I was 16 years old, my youth pastor was doing a lesson series from the book of Romans. When he got to chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned," I knew that all meant me. After Sunday school, I talked with my youth pastor's wife, where I put my faith in Jesus Christ. Later, I had the opportunity to go on several missions trips where God burdened me for those who've never heard the wonderful message of salvation. After meeting Josh and having the opportunity to go visit Mexico City with him, God burdened my heart for the people there.
I grew up in a Christian home. As a young child, I prayed the prayer of salvation, but at the time, I didn't mean it. I went on for years like this until the age of 12. I was out soul winning with an evangelist when he had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord. That night, all I could think of was if I died in my sleep, I would wake up in hell. So that night, I asked Jesus into my heart. A few years later, at the age of 14, the Lord called me into missions. I heard a message out of Isaiah 6, 8, and 9, which says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people." The Lord convicted me through this message to go into foreign missions and to tell those who have not heard. The Lord burdened me for Mexico from a young age. I was always fascinated with the culture and the people. I always had a burden to take a missions trip, but never knew how that would happen. While attending Crown College, the Lord opened the door for me to take a missions trip to Mexico City and visit the Allinson family, who have been missionaries there for 15 years. Brother Allinson has started two churches, a Bible institute, and a camp ministry since his time there. From the moment I arrived in the city, I knew that was where the Lord was calling me. One night while there, I was reading in Acts 16:9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." The Lord used this verse to confirm in my heart that this is where God was calling us to. The next summer, Katie had the opportunity to travel with me to Mexico City. She had the opportunity to help out with VBS and work around the church, and fell in love with the Mexican people. Her eyes were opened to the need for the gospel in that city, and she saw the hunger of the people searching for truth. We are both very excited to go help the Allinsons with the work the Lord is already doing in Mexico, and in the future start our own church.
We are being sent out of Hope Baptist Church in Chillington, Pennsylvania, under the leadership of Pastor Michael Foster. We had the opportunity to work at the church for 2 years after college, leading the music ministry and starting a youth group. The people there are very excited to be a part of the ministry the Lord has called us to.
Once we get to Mexico City, we will be assisting the Allinsons at the two churches they have started, the Institute and the Camp. Our goal will be to evangelize the lost, disciple believers, and train others. We ask that you pray alongside us as we pray for the souls of Mexico City. Thank you.
right. Well, I mentioned there in the video that 80% of Mexicans actually are Roman Catholic. And so, I mean, if you think about it, when you think of Mexico or you think of a Hispanic person nowadays, what do you think of? You think of Catholicism. And yes, that's true. But as we're seeing nowadays, very quickly, there's a big sweep coming right through Mexico, especially in Mexico City with the younger generation of this Pentecostalism. And when we think of Pentecostalism here in America, you know, we think of people running up and down the aisles and screaming, and that's not necessarily what Pentecostalism is down there in Mexico. What it is kind of like this New Age Christianity. You know, it's the contemporary church, the people that get up and preach a feel-good message. They do still believe in speaking in tongues. That's a big thing that they've got going on now that they're fighting there in Mexico, is the idea of speaking in tongues. But what is happening is many people are seeing a change come through from the Catholic Church. And now more than ever is a time that we have that the Lord is already working in Mexico, because, you know, for so many years in Mexico, the idea has been, well, my grandparents were Catholic, my parents were Catholic, I'm going to be Catholic. And there's this big change coming where many more people are more open to hearing other ideas other than the Catholicism that they've grown up under. So the Lord is definitely doing a work, even though we don't believe in the Pentecostal church, and that's not what we're going down there to do. But the people are open. The people are very willing to something different other than what they've known their whole life. Like I mentioned in there, the Allensons are already there. They've been there for 15 years now. We're going to be going down there and working with them side by side until we can learn the language, get used to the culture, get settled in there, and then they're going to help us start our own church. We're praying about an area called Lomas Verdes right now. There's no good Bible-preaching church there in that whole section of the city. It's more of a little bit of a richer side of Mexico City. Actually, there used to be an American missionary that was there, and he started a church in Lomas Verdes, and this was many years ago, and he just didn't have a good time. It didn't work out well. Since then, the church has closed. The American missionary has come off the field, so we're back to now in Lomas Verdes. There's no good Bible-believing church, so we're praying that the Lord will give us an opportunity to start a church there. If you would, take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 12. 1 Samuel chapter number 12. I want to preach a message to you entitled tonight, What is Happening to America? What is happening to America? A little bit about what we've been able to do this past week. Our sending church there, Hope Baptist Church over in Shillington. How many of you know where the Reading area is? Reading, yeah, it's not too far from here. Right outside Reading is the Governor Mifflin School District. And just this past week, the Governor Mifflin School District put on this large community days. And with this community days, we had the opportunity to have our own tent there, and we did free balloon animals, we handed out water, and this was just a way that we could get people to come over to our tent where we could witness to them. We were able to hand out over 700 gospel literature, which was a blessing. But as we were there this week doing balloon animals, I actually just learned how to do balloon animals, Thursday night now? My wife's known how to do them forever. And I tell you, there's so many people hear free balloon animals, and they're like, oh, I want one. And you get a line of 20 kids out there, and you got two people doing balloon animals. So I learned how to do balloon animals. Listen, my fingers are raw. Please don't come ask me to do a balloon animal. We did over 1,100 balloon animals this week. Okay, our fingers hurt. Please don't ask me to do one for you, please. But while we were there, we were able to just stop for a few minutes, and you can see all different walks of life walking past, and just all different ways that the kids are dressed nowadays, how the kids don't listen to their parents, and how we've got this new generation coming up that has no fear of God, this new generation coming up that knows nothing of the Lord, this new generation coming up that is getting so far away from God that what was once wrong is now accepted as right. In fact, if you try to go against what is wrong nowadays, you're the one that's looked at weird. And this is what is happening to America today. And if you think with me back to colonial times, think back over 200 years ago. I don't believe anybody in here was around during that time. But think back to colonial America with me for a minute. When the time of the Constitution of the United States was signed and we became our own country, we had our Declaration of Independence. Our country was built on what? It was built on freedom. It was built on freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of owning your own land, freedom to bear arms, and freedom of religion. With this freedom of religion meant that there was plenty of prayer in the school. The Bible was being taught in the school around the time of colonial times. What has happened today? It's not anymore. In fact, in some school districts, it's against the law to even pray in a classroom. That's not all across the board in America yet, but in the direction that we're headed, it's going to come there quickly. Now, across the board, it is still allowed for a kid, if they'd like to, in a public school, to pray in the cafeteria over their meal. That is allowed. But there are some school districts that have said that you cannot pray to your God in the classroom. This is what is happening. This is where we've come so far from colonial America, so far from what our country was built on, the foundation. Why? Because the foundation was built upon the Word of God. We now have laws, like I said, preventing public school in the classroom. The use of the Bible is not allowed in the classroom unless it's used as a history book. You're only allowed to use it as a history book. You cannot use it as a spiritual book. Did you know that? This is where we're getting to in America. These are the things, the changes that are rapidly happening. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, these things have come to about. And think with me, in 10 years, if we keep going down the line, where is our country going to be? If people like us, the church, the called out assembly of God, do not stand up and make a stand for Jesus Christ. And as we stand there at the community days this week, and we watch all these thousands of people go by, and it saddens, it breaks our heart to see the state that America is in today. As for laws about marriage, it is now legal anywhere in our country to marry someone of the same gender as you. And in some states, you can now legally marry non-human beings, animals, inanimate objects. It's legal to do so. And in some states, as a minister of the word, someone who has been ordained and has the legal representation to marry someone, you are not allowed to say no to marrying someone of the same gender. If you do, you face jail. This is where we're getting to in America. What about when it comes to murder? Think about murder nowadays. Listen to this stat. As a country, we kill over 800,000 babies a year. 800,000. In New Jersey, in 2017, 32% of pregnancies were aborted. 32% in 2017 in New Jersey. What direction are we headed? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 tells us, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So if you think with me, what is going to be the end game? What direction are we headed? What will be the final straw? What is going to be the end game for our country if we continue in the way that we are going? And that brings me to 1 Samuel chapter number 12 here. 1 Samuel chapter 12, if you would, we'll read verses 14 and 15, and then we'll jump down to the end of the chapter in 24 and 25. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14. The Bible says this, "If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers." Jump down with me to verse number 24. The Bible says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if he shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight with these wonderful folks. Lord, I pray that you'll be with us as we look at your word. Father, as we look at where state our country is heading, Father, that you'll burden our hearts to make a stand for what is right. Lord, that you'll be with this church as they've got this VBS this next week. Lord, as they have an opportunity to be a big lighthouse to this community, Father, they're going to be able to reach many souls, many children, many families. Father, I pray that you'll help them to make a stand for what is right. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." You see, God will allow us to defile ourselves as a nation if we so choose to. We have free will, is that not right? We have the right to choose which direction we want to head, which path we are going to choose. Just like the pilgrims did, right? That's what our country was built on. Our country was built on giving people the right to choose because they didn't like the tyranny. They didn't like the King of England at the time. So what they do, they fled. They came to America and started their own nation. God gives us the right to choose. And Romans 1:24 tells us that God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You see, if we choose the wrong path, God is going to allow us to choose that path. Acts 14:16 says, who, that's meaning God, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. You see, he's going to allow us to walk in the path that we trod. Right now, God is allowing us to walk in our own way as a nation. And the majority of the nation is choosing the wrong path. And God is going to continue to allow us to do that until he gets to his final straw. And what happens? Verse 25, 1 Samuel chapter 12. But if he shall still do wickedly, both ye and your king, if he shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You see, God will allow us to walk our own path. God gives us the right to choose. We have the right to choose if we want to make a stand against abortion or not. We have the right to choose if we want to make a stand against same-sex marriage or not. If we want to make a stand against what is being allowed in our schools, against the crime that is happening, against the way that people are running their families and the way that they're letting their children run rampant nowadays, we have the choice to do what's right. But you see, once the church makes the choice to do what's wrong, I truly believe that's when God's going to say it's enough. It's enough. There's no more. And both ye and your king will be consumed. This is the direction that America is heading. If you ask the question, like I asked earlier, what is happening to America? Where are we going? What direction? What's the end game? That is it. The hand of the Lord will be against us and we will be consumed. And you say, Brother Magnus, that's pretty doom and gloom. What are you doing? Why are you coming over here just saying all these terrible things? Because God's word is not like that. God's word is not just all the doom and gloom. Look back with me at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. You see, we have the choice. We can still continue to follow after the Lord our God if we do what? Number one, if you're taking notes tonight, fear the Lord. If you like to take notes, number one is fear the Lord. You see, the first thing we need to do is we need to have the right kind of fear of God. The first thing we are commanded is to fear the Lord. So what does this mean to fear the Lord? When you think of fear, what do we think of? Does it mean to be scared of him? Listen, I'll be honest with you right now. You ready? I'm scared of snakes. When it comes to snakes, keep them away from me. I don't like them. I had kids this week ask me for a balloon snake. And I'm like, sure, here you go. It's just a balloon. But they liked it. Listen, I don't like snakes. I don't have a healthy fear of snakes. I have like this crazy fear that when I see them, I freeze up. I don't know why, I always did since I was a little kid. When I was younger one time, we had this large, like 10-foot black snake crawling on our house. It was one of the worst memories I have as a child. It was just like slithering up the side of our house. I'm not kidding. I have this unhealthy fear of snakes. That's not the fear of the Lord. That's something totally different. No, the fear of the Lord is a healthy fear. Many say the fear of the Lord is to have reverence and awe and to respect him. Yes, I agree with that. That is part of the fear of the Lord. But that's not where God's word ends. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Write this verse down if you're taking notes. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 tells us this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You see, it's not to just dislike evil, but to hate evil. When I was growing up, my mom always told me not to use the word hate. And I wish I'd remembered this verse as a kid and be like, well, Mom, God uses the word hate. It's different. To hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It includes understanding how much God hates sin and having that understanding of God and how harsh his punishments are on sin. Remember what the end game for America may be one day if we continue in the way that we're going, that we will be consumed, both ye and your king. Why? Because God hates evil. He hates sin. His punishment of sin is so much farther beyond what we can imagine. Fearing the Lord means you have such a reverence for him, so much love for him that it affects your way of life, that you hate evil the way God hates evil, that you have the same perspective of sin as God, that you will then respect, you love, obey, serve, and submit to God's discipline, and you worship him in awe, truly because you hate evil the same way that God hates evil. Our country as a whole does not fear God anymore. And you say, Brother Magner, how can you stand up there and say that our country, which was built on the right foundation, does not fear God? Because look at the laws that we have passed. They don't hate evil. They applaud evil. hate evil, fear the Lord. We as Christians need to hate sin. Stay so far away from it that you don't just walk the line of what is right and wrong. You see, when I went to college, there was always this saying of take the high road. And at the beginning, I kind of always thought that just meant, oh, you choose what's right or what's wrong. And you kind of walk that line. That's not what taking the high road means. No, taking the high road is not choosing what is right and what's wrong, but is choosing the better path. It is choosing to stay so far away. It's taking that high road, not taking the middle ground. You see what I'm saying there? You hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It is sad that our churches today, many churches across America, do not fear the Lord anymore. They do not hate evil the way that the church of God once used to. The Bible tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. And what do we find in many churches nowadays? We find people dressed the same way as they would come dressed to the fair that we were at this past week. We find the music is the same way as the music of the people that are driving down the street listening to rap music. You see, the church of God is quickly going away from this. They're not abstaining from all appearances of evil. No, their music programs look and sound like the world. Their people dress like the world. The pastors nowadays aren't preaching messages out of God's word. What are they doing? They're preaching these good news messages. Just like this Pentecostalism that's sweeping through Mexico right now. It's this good news message that if you just do a few good things, it'll be all right. If you just, you come to church on Sunday, you raise your hand and you love the Lord as you sing, it'll be okay. Everything's going to be great. It doesn't matter what you do Monday through Saturday, as long as you're here Sunday morning. No, that's not hating evil. That's not abstaining from all appearances of evil. The kids programs nowadays in these churches have nothing to do with the Bible anymore. I've seen it in some churches, and I'm not saying this is your church here, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying some of these churches out here in America that are out here and have these big names, the kids programs, they're all about entertainment. There's no more preaching Bible stories. There's no more teaching them to memorize verses. Why? Because it's not about God's word anymore. It's not about fearing the Lord. It's all about getting numbers in so they can have more money, so they can build a bigger auditorium, and the pastor can have a really nice car. What is happening to America? They're not fearing the Lord. Number two tonight, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Verse number 14, if you will fear the Lord and serve him. Is this water for me, sir? Do you have one if I can ask? Sorry, my throat is really rough. No, that's fine. This verse said, if you will fear the Lord and serve him. What does it mean to truly serve the Lord? John 12, verse 46 tells us, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I think if we are going to serve the Lord, we must first follow the Lord. If we're going to serve the Lord, you must first follow the Lord. To follow the Lord means to be what? A Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Has there ever been that time in your life where you've accepted Christ as your Savior, where you've come to the end of yourself and you realize that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, where you realize that the only way I can get to heaven is by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, in the blood that we sang about tonight, nothing but the blood. Being a Christian does not mean you just go to church. Being a Christian does not mean that your parents went to church or your parents was a preacher. Being a Christian does not mean that you were once baptized as a little kid. Being a Christian does not mean that you're a good person. No, being a Christian is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, that is the only way to be a Christian, the only way to get saved, to be a follower of Christ. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Excuse me, I've been yelling free balloon animals all week. I'm not kidding. The only way to Christ is to put your faith and trust in him. And if you want to serve him, you have to first follow him. So if we're going to serve the Lord, we must first be a follower of Christ. Also, to serve the Lord means that you do his work. You do the work that Christ has given to the church, the work that you all are going to be doing this week, your VBS. That is part of the work of Christ. You see, to serve the Lord, you need to be involved in his service. Serving the Lord is not serving yourself. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, verse 24 tells us that no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You see, you can't serve both. You can't serve yourself Monday through Friday or Saturday and then come to church on Sunday and serve yourself. That's not serving the Lord. That's serving yourself and giving a little bit of time to Christ. That's not serving him the way that we're talking about here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. No, serving the Lord is giving all of yourself to him. It's saying, Lord, here's all of myself. No more of myself. No more serving me, but I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my money. I'm going to give my energy to your service. You can't try to serve God sometimes and serve yourself other times. You have to choose. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make the decision. Am I going to serve the Lord and be faithful to his work, be faithful to his ministry, be faithful to what he called me to? Or am I going to serve myself? It's a hard decision. Listen, when the Lord called me to be a missionary, I didn't want to. It was a hard decision. When I told my pastor, I'll give you a little bit of insight about when the Lord called me to my ministry. I was around the age of 14, and there's a message out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Bible says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah then says, then said I, hear my, send me. Verse 9 says, and the Lord said, and he said, go and tell this people. I was sitting there one day reading that. I was underneath the preaching. It was during the weekday. It was a revival service. I was underneath the preaching out of Isaiah 6. And I got to that go, and I knew the Lord was telling me, Josh, that's you. You need to go. You know what my first response was? I don't want to. I don't want to go. Why? Because we're selfish. You want to serve yourself. But no, what we need to do is when the Lord says go, we need to make that decision that we're going to go. That's serving God. Serving God is saying, I'm going to give up everything else, all my other plans, and I'm going to go for Christ. I'm going to serve him. So first, we need to fear the Lord. Hate evil the same way that God hates evil. Second, we need to serve him. Number three tonight, if you would, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. What is God telling you to do today? Are you obeying him? Look with me at verse 14 again. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice. Speaking to you? You've gotten so far from God that you don't even hear his voice anymore. Maybe you're not studying your word, studying the word of God, that you're not hearing his voice anymore. How can you obey the voice of God if we don't know what the voice of God is? How can we obey the voice of God if we're not faithful to our church like we ought to be? How can we obey the voice of God if we're not having personal daily devotions, if we're not focusing on what he has for us? Obey his voice. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice. So what is he telling you today? What has God called you to do with your life? Maybe you're running from him. Listen, after I accepted the Lord's calling on my life, I then spent a few years running from that calling. I wasn't obeying God's voice. I was running from him. I was going the complete opposite way. I was living in sin. I was doing things that no Christian ought to do, running from God because I was not in my word. I was not in the Bible. I was not studying out what God had for me. I was focused on what? Serving myself. You see, I didn't hate evil the way that God hated evil. I didn't serve God the way I ought to serve God. And because of that, as a result of those two things, I was not obeying God's voice. By the grace of God, I'm here today saying I'm trying to obey God's voice the best I can every day. Listen, nobody's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes, but we need to obey God's voice. Maybe he's calling you to be a witness at work. Maybe there's some coworker that you know that has never heard the gospel. Who's going to tell them? Maybe God is calling you to come into full-time ministry. Maybe he's calling you to be a missionary. Maybe he's calling you to start a church somewhere, to lead a Sunday school here. I don't know what God is calling you to do, but are you obeying his voice? Are you listening to it? Are you drowning it in? Are you putting your earbuds in? Listen, nowadays, everybody's wearing earbuds all the time. Is that what you're doing as a Christian? Are you putting your earbuds in, listening to your music, saying, God, I'm not listening to your voice. I want to do it my way. I urge you to obey his voice. You have to know what path Christ wants you to take in order to obey that path. Psalm chapter 119, Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to know what path you have to take, you have to be in your word. You have to be in your Bible. You see, this is our lamp. This is our flashlight that tells us which way to go. And if you're not in your Bible, if you're not studying out God's word, you won't know that lamp unto your feet. You don't know that path that Christ has you to take. Are you obeying his voice? Do you know what Christ has expected of you? If not, I urge you, spend time in your Bible. Spend time studying out God's word. Spend time under the preaching. I saw out there just across from our table, there's a whole rack there of messages. Spend time listening to some of those messages, praying, asking God to show you something, asking God what he has for your life. How much time this week did you spend in God's word? Number four, first we have fear the Lord. Second, serve the Lord. Third, we are to obey his voice. And number four is to keep his commandments. Keep the commandments of the Lord. How are you doing with this one? This is a hard one. In your spare time, read Exodus chapter 20. Start there. Those are the basic 10 commandments. You probably memorized them as a kid. Start there, Exodus chapter 20. Line your life up with it. See where you stand today on obeying the commandments of the Lord. Go verse by verse, line by line, to line your life up. It's a hard thing to do. It'll show you some things about yourself that you might not have known was there, but it'll help you. Obey the commandments of the Lord. I believe that the hardest one of the commandments is the first one. I believe this is the hardest commandment. It's found in verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why? Because we're a selfish people. We have become a selfish nation. Everything has been about me. You know, now we've got this cancel culture, right? Many of you have heard the term cancel culture. You know what is at the root of cancel culture? Selfishness. What's best for me, not what's best for you. And that is what's at the root of putting something in front of God. Why? Because you want something for your own life, not for God. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Anything in your life that comes above God has then become a god in your life. Anything that has top priority. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a sports team. Maybe it's your schoolwork. Schoolwork's a great thing. Some people get so focused on their schoolwork. Listen, when I went to college, I saw it. I saw it in a few people's lives, that they'd get so focused on their schoolwork that they'd forget about everything else. I saw people at school, at a Christian school, they'd get so focused on schoolwork, they would skip classes or skip church to study. That's putting schoolwork in front of God. You see, it can happen. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your job. That's a hard one. Listen, I understand. We all need to work a job. We need to make income some way so that we can survive here, so we can provide for our families, right? But has your job become so important in your life that it has come above God? That when it comes time to it, you can't make it to that church service because I've got to be at my job. I need to get the overtime. I know I worked 40 hours this week, but 44 sounds nice. That time and a half sounds really great. I'll go to church next Sunday. I'll be there next Wednesday. I can't make it to visitation this week, Pastor. I'm sorry. I got to be at work. I got to work some overtime. What's more important in your life? Is God the most important thing? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's just the first commandment. Line your life up with Exodus chapter 20. It's a hard thing. It'll show you some things about yourself that you didn't know was there. Is God most important? As Christians, I truly believe that we are failing at these four things. I've seen it in my own life. I have to be careful that I don't fail at these four things in my own life. As a church as a whole, all across America, we are slowly failing at these things. And let me tell you, as a nation as a whole, we've failed. As a nation as a whole, we've failed at these things. We're no longer fearing the Lord. Our nation is no longer serving God. Our nation is no longer obeying his voice. And let me tell you, they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. Like I told you, what was once right is now wrong. What was once wrong is now law. This is where we're at as a nation. And what is going to happen? Verse number 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Verse number 25. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So how do we stop this? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with this pulpit right here. This is how we stop this from happening. Make a stand. Make a stand at your job. Make a stand at your school. Maybe you go to public school today and you say it's hard. I know it's hard. I didn't go to public school, but I've worked some Bible clubs in the public school. I've seen it. I've seen Christians and how they have to try to live in a public school. It's a hard thing to do. I'm very thankful that I didn't have to do it, but I understand. Maybe some of you have to do it. Make a stand for what is right. You can still do that. Make a stand at your job. Make a stand with your friends. You know, my coworkers have learned to stop asking me to go out and do things with them because they know my first question is going to be, is there drinking? The answer is 99 times yes. And then I ask them if there's going to be smoking. And the answer out of that is always yes, because they all smoke. And then I say, well, sorry, I'm not going. They've stopped asking me to go do things with them. They've stopped asking me to hang out with them on the weekends. They've stopped asking me occasionally I'll go watch a race with them. But you know what I followed up with? Sure, I'll go. You coming to church with me tomorrow night? You can be there Wednesday? You can be there Sunday? Try to build a relationship with them, but make a stand for what is right. Do your coworkers know what you stand for? Do they know you're a Christian? Do they know that you hate evil? This is the only way to get back to where we need to be as a country, is by making a stand, and it starts with me. I need to make that stand. I need to fear the Lord. I need to hate evil the way he hates evil. I need to obey his voice, keep his commandments, and serve him. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." You see, I truly believe that as a nation, we can get back to that. I do. I'm not here all doom and gloom saying it's over. No, why do I know that? Because we're still here. We still are here. We still have the opportunity to have a free message here. We still have the opportunity to come here and not worry about someone busting through the back door and arresting us for being here. We still have an opportunity. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I would love to see America get back to be that nation. And I truly believe that it can happen if I make a stand, if I stand for what's right, and if you do it as well. You see, Capitol Hill's not going to make the right choices. We've seen that. We've seen that in the over 200 years of our nation. Every time we get a new president, it gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't matter who we vote into office, it's going worse and worse, because the change is not going to happen in the White House. The change is not going to happen as our senators. The change is going to happen in the church. We need to make a stand for what is right. God's people need to do it. The church needs to be the ones getting our nation back to where it ought to be. When our forefathers built the nation, it didn't happen overnight. I don't want you to also think that, oh, if I make this stand today, the nation's going to be back to where it ought to be. It didn't happen overnight. You see, George Washington didn't wake up one morning and there was an already built nation who loved the Lord, who was fearing God, who had its laws built off of the Bible. No, what happened was there was a few men who made a stand for what was right. And they were so adamant about it that they brought everyone else along with them. And that's what we need to do as a church. So when I ask you tonight, what is happening to America? Yes, currently, our situation is the point where we are getting to that point where one day both ye and your king shall be consumed. But I don't believe it has to be that way. I would love to see that nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Someone who will go against the grain. Will you? Bow your head, close your eyes. If you bow your head, close your eyes, I'd like to ask you a few questions tonight, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. I'd like to ask you four questions tonight. Four questions tonight. Number one, do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Number two, do you serve the Lord? Do you serve the Lord? Number three, do you obey the Lord? Do you obey the Lord? And number four, do you keep his commandments? You see, if you can answer one of these as no, I'm not doing that, please get that taken care of tonight. Please don't leave this building until you get that taken care of. And let me add on top of that, if there's never been a time in your life where you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, please, by all means, don't leave here tonight without getting that settled. We are not promised tomorrow. Remember, our life is but a vapor. Pastor.